So we now sang, "Your praise will ever be on my lips." So what's going to be on our lips in the upcoming days? Praises to God, right? And I'm going to take that and one step further and say, also praise yourself. It's okay to say good things to you. Are you good with me on that one? So there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? You're a child of God, made in God's image. You're in the likeness of God. Therefore, if God's being praised, we need to praise God just for the fact of all the awesome people God created. That's a praise in and of itself. You are spectacularly, wonderfully, beautifully made. That's who you are, and you are the glory of God, all of you. You hearing me this morning? Okay, those here are hearing. How about you, Facebook? Okay, beautiful, good. All right, so now I can start the sermon. Because sometimes when we look in scriptures, we look at different people throughout the Bible, and we can learn something from them. And so I know that there's so many prominent people that you may have heard of in the Bible. For example, Moses, who I'm going to talk to you about this morning. We often think of him as this great, awesome leader, right? He was an awesome man that God chose to take the people out of Egypt into the promised land. He took them, he was given the great, awesome responsibility of leading people to something better. Isn't that who Moses was? Awesome person, right? Exodus chapter 3. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near to Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed because the bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. "Amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over to see this thing." When the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses, now that I have your attention." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," God told him. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he hid his face in his hands because he was afraid to look at God. What do you think Moses was thinking about himself? Not exactly worthy. This is the same Moses that had murdered somebody, by the way. So he had shame, right? He was afraid to look God in the eye because of what he thought of himself. The Lord told him, "You can be sure I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries for deliverance from their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come to rescue them from the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own good and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites and Termites live." Oh, no. "The cries of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how the Egyptians have oppressed them with heavy tasks. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Wow. What do you think Moses thought in his mind right then and there? Wow, God chose me. Wow, I can't wait to do this. Wow, our people have been suffering for so long. They've been oppressed. They've been treated awfully. They haven't been able to worship you, God. And you've chosen me. I can't wait to get my people together and get them out of here. Thank you, God, for choosing me, even though you know I'm imperfect. Oh, that's not what it says here. Verse 11. "But who am I to appear before Pharaoh? How can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt?" This is what I call and refer to as a bad but in the Bible. See, all of our words, no matter what they are, and last week, I believe it was, we heard about the word if and how powerful it was. The word but is equally as powerful, isn't it? Sometimes we, because of who we think we are and what we know about ourselves, we give God our buts as to why we can't be used by God. Not realizing God knows us better than we know ourselves, that God can take even every one of us who might have made a few mistakes in their life. Now, I know that's none of us here, but maybe the people on Facebook. Not them either. But needless to say, just because we might have made mistakes in the past doesn't make us usable in the future, does it? The only thing that stops that is who? Yourself. It's what you think about you. It's what Moses thought about himself. And he says, but who am I? What are you doing, God? You got the right person? Let me go get Jethro. Or isn't there somebody else that can go? See, God can be glorified that much more by using a person who's got some issues to be used by God, because God can change them and God will be with them to empower them. And what you think of yourself often gets in the way of what God wants to accomplish through you. So who needs to get out of the way more often than not? Yourself. And I want you to give up your buts. But Moses protested. Well, let me backtrack to verse 12, by the way, because see, here's the thing I know about God. God doesn't take no for an answer very often. Have you ever noticed that about God in your walk? How many times we think, oh, not me, I can't. This is the reason I can't. This is my, but someone else is better suited. Someone else has greater talents. Someone else has their act together and I don't. We give God our excuses and our limitations. The problem with limitations is they are something that you believe are true, but they're really lies, because with God, all things are possible, even for you and me, and even Moses, poor guy. Verse 12, then God told him, I will be with you, and this will serve as proof that I have sent you. When you have brought the Israelites out of Egypt, you notice what God's doing? He's saying, look, I'm going to be with you, and it's going to happen. You're going to do this, Moses, so stop arguing with me. God wants to use you. And you can, all of us, can give God every reason why we shouldn't be used by God. We can tell God all about ourselves and how someone is better suited. And sometimes we compare ourselves to others as a result. And we tell God why we can't do something for God. And what does God do? He ignores us. So the point is this. You might as well stop arguing with God. You lose every time. Verse 13, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they won't believe me. They will ask, which God are you talking about? What is his name? Then what should I tell them? I don't know what to say, God. God replied, I am the one who always is. Just tell them, I am has sent you. The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This will be my name forever. It has always been my name. It will use throughout all generations. Now you notice that it wasn't God was. It's I am. God is. He is always available, always here, right here, right now. That's the God of I am. And here's the thing, whatever we put after I am, our own selves, that's what we believe to be true about us, isn't it? So if you say, I am not able, or I'm not good enough, or I am afraid, that becomes your reality, doesn't it? That's the reason we have to watch our I ams, just like we have to watch our buts. Now go and call together all the leaders of Israel. Tell them the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, appeared to me in a burning bush. He said, you can be sure that I am watching over you and have seen what is happening to you in Egypt. I promise to rescue you from the oppression of the Egyptians. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. The leaders of the people of Israel will accept your message. Then all of you must go straight to the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us go on a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. You notice what God even does for Moses? He actually gives him the exact words to speak. Now, I don't know if Moses had a notepad with him that day or if he had his iPad with him to put those notes down of what to say. But do you notice that when God asked Moses to do something, he only didn't just choose him. He also gave him the words to say. Isn't that good to know that when the time comes for you to say something to someone about God or about your life or about something that you can help another person with, do you realize if God sends you to that person and you happen to be the one in front of them and that person needs your help or God's help, guess who gives you the words to speak? God does. So guess what? You never have to worry about putting together a speech. Good news this morning, right? Verse 19. But I know the king of Egypt will not let you go except under heavy pressure, so I will reach out and strike at the heart of Egypt with all kinds of miracles. Then at last he will let you go. And so God even tells Moses a part of the plan for the future. See, what I love about God is this. He just doesn't say, go do something and I'll check with you later. He says, I'm going to go with you. I've chosen you. Here's the words you're to say. And here's what I'm going to do, some miraculous powers while all this is happening. God has a plan to work it all out. What does Moses have to do? Just go and say what God told him to say, right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just say what God tells you to say. How easy is that? Pretty good, huh? Chapter 4, but Moses protested again. Ugh, poor Moses. He obviously has a self-esteem issue. Now, I don't know that he went for counseling or anything like that to get over that, but I do know this. God didn't take his butt for an answer. He protests again. He says, look, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say, the Lord never appeared to you. You notice how his mind is working against him? Do you notice how the doubts about himself and about he's predicting the future of what people, how they're going to respond to him? Do you notice how Moses is getting very anxious over something he believes is going to happen? Do you see the power or the disempowering, really, of our own thought life? How we overthink things sometimes, how we think things won't work, how we try to produce in our own mind what we think someone's reaction is going to be to us, and what does that do to us? It causes us to get anxious, and it causes us to stay even more stuck than where we are. And God has called Moses, this great leader, to go set his people free. But what I love about God is this. He's patient. He's repetitive. He's persistent. He doesn't give up on Moses, does he? He doesn't say, you know what? Go back where you came from, Moses. Go on. I'm going to find somebody else. What God does is he engages in a conversation with him. He tries to help him by telling him the surety and the truth of what the future is going to hold for him. And he's also trying to empower him by letting him know that, look, I know this is bigger than you, Moses, but I'm going to do this with you. You're not alone in this. The problem with Moses is he wanted to hold on to his own limitations, and he was staying stuck in that. If we listen to our own voices of doubt or other people's voices of doubt that might tell us why we can't do something we feel as though God is leading us to do, or some vision God has given us, or some dream that God has put inside of us, some passion we've always wanted to do, and we want to go for it, we want to really live our life to the fullest, and all these doubts and fears and all these, you know, interpretations in our mind, our hallucinations, if you will, that we imagine how things are going to be. Do you think anybody would ever succeed in life, or would God be able to use anyone if we clung to those doubts and fears? There's nothing worse than seeing a person who has potential that doesn't live up to it because they let their doubts and their fears and their own self issues stop them from being who God has created them to be. As the song said earlier, I think it was something along the lines of, you've created me for something special, something different, something better, something magnificent. That was what the song was. Did you hear those lines in that song? Do you believe those lines in that song? Or you want to hold on to your butts? The bad butts. But God, I don't know how. I don't understand. People won't believe me. It's too hard. What if I fail? And then we say scripture that says, with God, some things are possible. A few things are possible. If I get it right, it's possible. All things are possible with God. With God. See, God doesn't call us and challenge us and ask us to do something easy. He wants more out of us. He wants us to go after the impossible, totally not be within even our own nature to do. That's how God shows his glory in us. And before you know it, once you start, I don't want to call it testing, but I guess I will. Once God starts to show you his greatness, how he can change you a little bit, you start to believe that he can change you a lot. And guess what happens? God does. But we have to, here's a but, but we have to be willing, don't we? See, the whole problem with this tug of war with God that Moses is happening is, well, I have to be honest, if I were, you know, the type of leader that I am, I'm not exactly like God sometimes. I'm like, go do it. Step out. Get out of the boat. Go. But I don't know how to swim. Uh-oh. Well, you'll find out when you get in the water. Sorry. But God's way is so, he's persistent, and he comes back. He doesn't say to Moses, which I'm kind of saying to you, I hate to say, Moses, get over yourself. He doesn't say that to him, does he? He doesn't say, come on, knock off the butts. That's for a person like me to say. I have to say it to myself more often than not. God begins to have a conversation with him. He talks him into it in a gentle, kind way. And he stays, he doesn't take no for an answer. Says, they won't believe me. Then the Lord asked him, what do you have there in your hand? A shepherd's staff? Throw it down on the ground. Moses threw it down and it became a snake. Woo! Moses was terrified and turned and ran away. I'd run from it too. Then the Lord said, take hold of its tail. What? Moses reached out and grabbed it with his eyes closed. And it became a staff again. What is God doing? He already appeared in a burning bush, right? And now he's taking this man's staff, something that he had with him all the time, and he's saying, throw it down, and it becomes a snake. Now pick it back up, and it becomes a staff. What is God showing Moses in the physical? How powerful he is? how he can change any situation, any circumstance, that God is in control of everything, even physical things. But what is it also showing Moses? I can change you too, Moses. I can transform you. How many times have you often thought, boy, if God would only speak to me like he did Moses, I wish there was like this burning bush experience. Then I would know what God wants for me. Well, I look at it this way. Moses had a burning bush experience, didn't he? And he still protested. So the type of experience we have may or may not necessarily cause us to believe and have faith in God. But actually, I'm not so sure it's the faith in God that Moses needed, although that's part of it. Who does Moses need to have faith in the most? Himself. And even if he knows he can't do something, he has to rely on God's can, that God can help him. God can do what he cannot. And that's all our faith walk ever is. When God calls you out to do something special or magnificent or different, or to just touch a person's life in whatever way you're supposed to, because each of us are different in terms of what God wants from us and for us. We don't need to compare ourselves. Not all of us are Moseses. Which a Moses like this, I'm not sure I want to be that kind of a butt person anyway. However, Moses had a special purpose for God, didn't he? And he's also a special purpose to teach us this morning what we can learn from a guy like Moses. His inadequacies, his insecurities, his lack of faith in himself, what he told himself, all his limitations that he believed to be true about him, were stumbling blocks to his greatness of who he could become. However, God was not going to leave him there with those. So you can fight for your limitations all day long if you want to. Guess who wins ultimately? God does. God wants more out of you than you can even imagine. And you can throw all the butts at him you want, and they're going to bounce right back off of him. So he does a few more miracles. I'm moving on. Anybody here ever see God do a miracle? Okay, so he still can do them, right? So guess what God can do in your life as well? Perform a miracle. And sometimes the greatest miracle God can perform in each and every one of us is for us to start believing in our own power that God has given us, and our own unique capabilities and abilities and talents and spiritual gifts that God has given us all. And we begin to put those to use. Regardless of what vessel we start out with, as flawed as all of us are, and which some of us are still flawed, I get that. But we don't have to stop there to be and stay there. God can still use us all, and especially when God uses someone who's flawed to do something awesome, God gets even more glorified. Because people know it wasn't you, it was God that did it. So here's what Moses does one more time in verse 10. Moses pleaded with the Lord. Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I have never been. I'm not now, and ever. I never, ever will be. I'm clumsy with words. I'd like to be more like Pastor Joyce. She's got a lot of words. God said, who makes mouths? Who makes people so they can speak or not speak? Hear or not hear, see or not see. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, do as I have told you. I will help you speak well, and I will tell you what to say. Perfect answer, right? How many of you believe that today? That whatever it is God's going to use you for, he's going to tell you what to say. He's going to show you how to do it. He's going to empower you to do whatever is so impossible, that something you've always wanted to do, or something that's as simple as forgiving someone else, for example, or doing something you've never done before, that you, or something you've never been good at. God is going to use you for God's spiritual use. It's all about the spiritual use that we all have. And so that was a perfect answer. So what do you think Moses said right after that? All right, good. You're going to tell me what to say. I might not be good with words, but you're going to help me speak. Okay. Verse 13. This is a long chapter, isn't it? But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Please, I can't talk. Then the Lord became angry at Moses. He had enough. Come on, I'm trying to help you here, Moses. Please, I've chosen you. You can do this. Have confidence in yourself. I'll be with you. Please, have faith in me. Oh, poor God has to plead with Moses. All right, he said, fine. I'll go to plan B. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? He's a good speaker. And look, he's on his way to meet you right now. How'd that happen? Just so happened, a coincidence or a godsidence. And when he sees you, he will be very glad. You will talk to him, giving him the words to say, I will help both of you to speak clearly, and I will tell you what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people, and you will be as God to him, telling him what to say. And be sure to take with you your shepherd's staff so you can perform the miraculous signs I have showed you. So here's what God does, right? He gives Moses a helper. And sometimes in life, I know for those of us that are really, we really just can't seem to be there yet in terms of believing enough in ourselves that we can accomplish something great for God. That's the reason God puts other people in our lives, to walk alongside and to be a helpmate to that person. And so God made a way for Moses to still lead the people into Egypt, but he gave him a person to help him along the way. And so it shows us that God chose Moses and he also chose Aaron for a special work. And it also shows us this, that we don't go through this life alone. Each and every one of us needs someone coming alongside of us very often for the times in which we have our feelings of our limitations, our doubts, and our fears. Someone to just walk alongside and say, well, I'll do it for you. If that's too heavy to carry, I'll help carry it with you. And so God solves this problem that Moses had early on of his own limitations. Did God say to Moses, never mind, I'll only send Aaron? He decided to send them both. Moses still didn't lose the opportunity to serve God and help lead his people out of Egypt. See, that's how gracious and loving and kind and understanding God is. That even when we put in front of God all our limitations and we say, I can't, please don't make me, God says, here, I'll send you someone to walk beside you to help you through that. And I can think personally, way back when in the 80s during the AIDS crisis, when I had to go to the hospital and visit with people, and I was a deacon in a church at the time, and God wanted me to go as part of my ministry. I was told to go. And as a young child, I was always afraid of hospitals. My mother had always told me that's where people go to die. So I was deathly, deathly afraid of hospitals. And so the first time I had to go, someone came along with me and said, I'll be there with you. In fact, that person had to push the elevator button because my hands were too shaky to even press it, because I was afraid of going up to the floor where the AIDS wing was. And together we went into the rooms and we visited with people. And I always said to God, please don't let anybody die on my watch. God, I don't want to see that. I'm afraid. And then God sent another person into my life who was dying, who helped me understand. And then eventually, I was glad to be there with people as they passed because I felt the Lord come and take them. And I felt the power of God in that time of their leaving this earth to the next. But that was a process, wasn't it? Each of us that are in this community together of believers, we need each other. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have fears. All of us have doubts. Yet God still calls us to something greater. And so if you're a person that's afraid of whatever it might be, go to the person that's not afraid of it, who can walk beside you. Find someone else or several someone else's to help you. That's how God means for people to work together in a church body and a church family. None of us can get through this alone. Each of us need one another. And we all together need God. But I want to say this. Don't let your limitations, your lack of self-esteem, your lack of worthiness, or whatever it is you tell yourself, never let that be the reason that you don't let God use you. God is going to do his level best to show you his miraculous power. And God is also going to be there with you in the spirit, of a spiritual nature. And the more you spend time with God, the more you get to know God, you'll be more confident as life goes on. But in the meantime, as you're going through your life journey, partner up with other people who can believe for you and with you and do for you and help you believe and help you know how to do the thing you fear the most. God wants to take us all from one place to a greater place. And it's not always easy, but it's always possible. When we're willing, each and every one of us, to give up our, if this happens, and that might happen, and but, if you give all those up, the if, ands, and buts, there are no if, ands, and buts about how great, powerful, and what an enormous impact you can make on this world. You can be a life changer for many, many people. Your legacy can live long past you when you choose to do the greatest thing you're most afraid of that God has asked you to do. And here's the beauty of it. You don't have to do it alone. There's many Aarons and others throughout the scriptures. Jesus himself had disciples, and they worked together. So are you ready this morning to, now that you've had a burning bush experience, that God's spoken to you, are you ready this morning to do the thing that God has called you to do, regardless of how afraid of it you are? No ifs, ands, or buts about it? Good, now I can end the sermon. See, you're doing good, answering the right questions the right way. And if you need help along the way, you know you have pastors and deacons in this church and other believers who are here to walk beside you to help you overcome what you're most afraid of. But please, before we leave this place today, start to believe that you are exactly who God created to be for a wonderful, awesome, and powerful ministry. Amen? No ifs, ands, or buts about it.